This summer, the world must answer one question. Why has no one made a popsicle that gets you high yet?
That's right, it's summer, and it's time for you to get your hands on America's new favorite product, Danksicles. 20 milligrams of THC in two great flavors, the latest and greatest innovation from IndiCloud.
Is IndiCloud the greatest company to come out of America? Maybe. But what we do know for sure is that IndiCloud is the best way to get dispensary-grade cannabis delivered directly to your door, 100% legally. Yes, they ship legally to all states. No medical card needed. Whether it's vapes as big as your head, flowers you won't find in your mom's garden, or, of course, popsicles that get you high as what are you waiting for? Go to IndiCloud.co/spring24 and get discreet delivery on top-shelf THC products. Head over to IndiCloud.co/spring24, that's co, not com, to snag 30% off your first order.
This is Across the Streams Media Podcast.
Few shows embodied 1950s television quite like General Electric Theater. For American viewers, it was a half hour of unique entertainment, featuring a long list of recognizable guest stars like James Dean.
I bet they're just about my age, too.
Harry Belafonte and Alan Ladd. For General Electric, it was a platform for self-promotion, using television's primest of primetime slots, Sunday night.
On the 4th of July, we celebrate the day our country became free and independent. Our independence is guarded by our many citizens in uniform. And it's also guarded by industrial citizens like General Electric.
GE's message was overt. Segues, intermissions, openings, and closings. Presented by host Ronald Reagan.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast. I am your host, Scott White. I am joined once again by my other Scott, Scott Sabo.
Hello.
He's going to speak loudly this time.
Yes.
We're doing an episode of the General Electric Theater from 1962, starring Sammy Davis Jr. and Charles Bronson.
Right.
Called Memory in White. And it is cringy.
Cringy. Cringy to say the least.
To say the least.
I was trying to compare the cringiness of this to the Twilight Zone episode. The Twilight Zone episodes, and we did the review of that with the different things that were in the Twilight Zone movie that were pretty cringy in there also, Yeah, this is up there on the cringy scale.
So this was an episode of the General Electric Theater, which ran from 53 to 62. So this was in the last season. This was 61, I believe. So this was in the ninth season. Mm-hmm. And usually, the person who introduced the episodes was Ronald Reagan. He was the host of the show. Now, we watched a rip on YouTube, and it's a terrible... It's a terrible copy.
Yes.
And there's no Ronald Reagan.
Nope.
So that was disappointing.
Yeah, it looks like it's a pre-production version because they had the timeline running in the bottom for editing and stuff. And then they also have places to insert commercials.
Yeah, insert commercial here. Yes.
And I couldn't find this anywhere else. Like, I scoured the internet.
So did I. Yeah. I scoured the internet and couldn't find it. Now, there's other episodes on YouTube which are better quality and have the full show with the intro with Ronald Reagan, but this one doesn't.
Probably because it's so cringy.
they probably wanted to, wipe this.
Reagan said, take me out of this.
So right off the bat, it's Sammy Davis Jr. playing a Latino. And he's playing, actually a mentally challenged Latino.
Yes.
You say he sounds like Pedro from... I think he sounds like Cheech.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
You got to move your legs.
You got to move your legs.
And it's just, wow.
Yeah. But it is, it's a little bit different. And it's an interesting role for him. I mean, if you watch anything else he's ever been in, I've never seen him really take any major character roles, change his personality too much. But in this one, he definitely does it, so...
And once again, Bronson plays a boxer. I've done three podcasts on three TV shows that he's done, and he's played a boxer and everything. He played Indians and boxers for most of his time
on
television.
He's so cast type. Horrible.
Typecast?
Typecast, that's what I meant.
Cast type.
Cast type. Your other one.
Being so uncomfortable to watch, and the poor quality, it's like you're watching a snuff film. It's like, this is something that you're not supposed to see.
I have no idea what you're talking about. How many snuff films have you seen?
Not enough.
Let's not talk about it. Anyway, anywho.
So the episode on YouTube starts with a clip that we are going to see later again in the episode. It's kind of confusing. You think this is where the show is going to begin.
Yeah.
But so we'll skip that. We won't talk about that. We'll talk about it when we see it in the episode.
Sounds good. Yep.
So it starts in front of a gym. We're in Los Angeles, it looks like. And it starts in front of a gym, and there's a couple of kids shadow boxing each other.
Yeah.
And Sammy Davis Jr. walks out, and the first line of dialogue, he sees this kid working out, and he's like, "You got to move your legs." And he throws some laundry or some towels into the back of a truck, and the truck drives off. So the gist of it is, he used to be a boxer, and it must have been the featherweight.
Yeah.
Because
he's about a 125.
Yeah, he's about 5'1". Yeah, 5'1", a 125. Now, he comes out with this scar above his eye, which is never explained. He starts the show with that scar.
Yeah.
The gouge on this, it looks like it's a fresh wound, but it's, once again, it's never explained. Now, it's later it's brought out that he sometimes spars with the boxers, so maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah.
But it's never explained. So while he's outside the front of the gym, apparently the champ and his manager walks up, and they know each other, and the champ, who is the only redeeming character in this episode, really. He's the only one who doesn't make fun of Sammy Davis Jr.
Right. Yeah. And it's weird because his role, I mean, the champ being the only redeeming character, he's so minor in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So really everybody, the reason why I would say it's cringy is everybody in the episode, and if you watch it, you'll see everybody is just kind of really like mean and demeaning to Poncho.
It's a bullying episode.
Yeah, for sure.
And it makes it even worse when the character is, you know, mentally deficient.
Right.
But once again, this is the, you know, late 50s, early 60s.
Pretty much, I don't think they had the, there was the, not a lot of sensitivity.
No, not a lot of sensitivity at all.
Cringy, yes. Yeah,
now, I will say that the Sammy Davis Jr. character does stick up for himself when he has to. When he knows he's being made fun of. They trick him a lot, too. Because he starts talking to the champ. So the thing is, Sammy Davis Jr. used to be a fighter, but now he wants to be an announcer. He wants to be a ring announcer. That's his goal, which I thought was a nice twist. Instead of him wanting to be a boxer, that's already happened. So now he's moved on from being a boxer, wants to be a ring announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And the champ's manager makes fun of him, and Sammy snaps back at him.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, so he's, you know, he's not going to let this guy walk all over him.
And he's not the official announcer, which is funny. He just kind of, he's at the gym, and they got some people walking up to hop in the ring and spar. And Sammy just decides to hop up there and do his own announcements off this little piece of paper. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they've hired him to be the official announcer. He just gets up and does it as a courtesy or
it's
as
kind
a,
of like if you were at the gym and somebody said, "And now, benching 250 pounds." Right. It's like
stepping up to the bench.
It is.
Everybody kind of looks around, and I think they're all used to it because nobody stops to stare at him, but a little bit more, they just allow it to go on. And, like we said, they make fun of him.
And then the owner is like, "What are you doing?" It's like, I'm paying you to be in the locker room.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, "I don't want you out here where people can see you." So he's begging the manager. And at this point, he walks across the gym. And at that moment, Charles Bronson, who's hitting the heavy bag, punches the heavy bag into Poncho. And he goes flying across the room. And so Charles Bronson is there. And his manager, Charles Bronson manager, is Joe Besser from the Three Stooges in a street role.
Right.
It's like, because, you know, I've just known him as, "You crazy?" Mm. But he plays a street role in this, which is, I've never seen it before. I've never heard him do it before. It's really odd to see him in that character.
Yeah, you picked it out pretty good, and then once you mentioned it to me and I watched it, I really recognized it more, so.
And not only for the Three Stooges, but he was with Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, he was a plural, he did a lot of work. He did a lot of comedic work.
He was typecast or cast type? I don't remember.
Yes, he was cast type. This is also, the quality of the picture is so bad, but this is also after Sammy lost his eye. Hmm. I was trying to, you know, whenever you see Sammy, is this before he lost the eye or after he lost the eye?
Sammy Davis Jr., B-E-A-E. Before eye or after eye? That's how his timeline goes.
Sammy gets into Bronson's face. He's like, you're just mad at Latinos because one broke your jaw in the ring. And Bronson, like, grabs him. He's like, nah, Punchy. His name is Poncho, but he calls him Punchy. Nah, Punchy, I love Latinos. It's like, ooh. For the beginning part of his career, Bronson played bad guys. He played heavies, and he does a great job at this.
It's pretty consistent. I mean, you know, if you listen to him and watch his mannerisms, it's, you know, it stays pretty consistent with what he did early on.
So Joe Besser makes an offhanded comment. Maybe if you get yourself a white suit and a megaphone, he'll let you announce. And then Bronson really leans into it. Yeah, man. Go out and get yourself a nice white suit, and I bet they will pay you to announce.
Please, Mr. Gibbs, you let me announce. I promise, you know, it'll be good for your business. And like they say, it will add a little class.
Class? Look, all it's going to add is a little confusion. We got plenty in this joint right now. Now, you listen to me. You stick to those towels, and no more of that stumble bum announcement. You savvy, huh?
I am no stumble bum. I am no towel boy. I announce good.
What's with all the beefing, Punchy?
Hey, you don't call me Punchy.
That's your name, ain't it, young Punchy Beer?
My name, Pancho. No Punchy. You and me are no friends, soldier. Just because Keith, you get your hand, break your jaw once in Madison Square Garden, you don't like us Latinos.
Okay, you got me all wrong, Punchy. I love you native boys. You ask Ootsie, anybody here, ask him. I especially like the funny way you talk.
All right, you laugh. But one day when you were just a bum around the gym, I will be mucho famous announcer. I will stand in the middle of the ring. I will see a white life being on me. It will be in a white suit. A megaphone. And everyone will listen.
Hey, Pancho, maybe that's what you need, a white suit and a megaphone. Am I right, soldier, or am I right?
You think so, see?
Punchy, this Ootsie's really thinking for you. Why don't you do that? Go out and get a nice white linen suit, a genuine leather megaphone, and I guarantee you that Gibbs will probably pay you to announce.
This is where Sammy, he doesn't know that they're making fun of him. And he's like, do you think so? And they're like, yeah, that's a great idea. So he goes out and I guess this is where the title of the movie, the title of the episode comes from, Memories in White. He goes out to buy himself a white linen suit. And he walks past this window, and the suit is on sale for $14.
All right.
You can get a suit at regular price, $22, on sale for $14.
And he has these visions of himself, you know, when I think he's having these visions of himself wearing this white suit and being this great announcer. And instead of being in the gym, he's, you know, this little gym he's at, which we assume is probably
like
in LA.
Madison Square Garden. Yeah. That's where he's announcing.
Yeah, he sees himself in this, you know, this big Madison Square Garden setting, and he's out there being, you know, famous and the light on him and everything. And that kind of, that vision is what he kind of foreshadows a little bit about what he talks about later on. So he goes in and gets the suit. And
now, the guy who sells him the suit, he's on the fence with me. I don't know. He's sort of taking advantage of him, but he sort of has a soft spot for him, too.
Yeah.
He's making him pay more for the suit than it says in the window. But he is throwing in the shoes. So he's sort of taking advantage of him, and he's sort of not. So
yeah.
I guess he would be what you'd call a chaotic neutral.
There you go. Yes.
Because he's like, isn't this suit too small? He's like, nah, that's how the college kids are wearing it.
All the kids are doing it these days. And so he puts it on him and, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. goes to pay for it, and he doesn't have enough money.
He's only got $10.
Yeah. And because it's advertised for $750 for the top and $750 for the bottom, but he thinks it's $750 for the whole thing. So he takes the money, and he's good with it, and the $10, and he gives them the nice fancy white shoes, and I think that's kind of, you know, he really, really gets him going over the whole sale. And once he gets that, then, you know, he's got this. He's dressed in it. He's so excited.
So the whole thing together costs $20.
Yeah.
And he only has 10. So he gives him the $10 and he's like, I'll hold the suit and the shoes until you come back with the other $10.
Right.
So he goes back to the gym, and what he does is he goes to the Charles Bronson's character, who's called Soldier. He goes to Soldier and says, I'll spar with you for $10. And at first, Bronson's like, get out of here. But then he's like, okay, go get yourself some trunks and we'll spar.
Right. He's really looking to put the hurt on him too. I think that's the big thing.
Right. He was gonna let it go at first, but now he's like, I'll beat the crap. Yeah. I'll pay to beat the crap exactly. out of you.
$5, that's not bad. And I think he was going to do it twice. Didn't he say he wanted to do it twice?
He wanted to do it twice. Yeah. I guess it's $5 a round, you know, $5 a time or $5 a round, whatever.
Yeah.
So he convinces Bronson to do this.
It's all dressed up.
He gets all dressed up with the headgear and all that. And the fight scene is, let's just say, it's not Raging Bull.
No, for sure. It's a very overly dramatic.
It's too. Overly dramatic.
I think the way it's shot, too, is very interesting because, you know, if you look at the way it's shot, whenever they're looking at Bronson, Bronson's always being looked at, you know, as the hitter, or he, you know, swinging his fist, or he's being looking shot from a different angle, which makes him look superior, I think. And at one point, Sammy Davis Jr. is actually hitting Charles Bronson, and he's just like rope-a-doping him in the gut, which doesn't affect Charles Bronson whatsoever. It's kind of bouncing off him, like almost like a David and Goliath situation. And that's when Bronson just decides to lay into him and just really lays in really hard to Sammy Davis Jr. Lays him down on there. And even the way that shot, too, is that you see, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. falls and the shot.
And even Joe Besser, his manager, is like, okay, yeah, that's enough.
That's enough, yeah.
And the thing is, after Sammy takes this beating, he's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because he just wants to go.
Because he still thinks Bronson is his friend at this point.
Yeah.
You gave me the idea to get the linen suit. You're letting me spar for you for $10. So he still thinks Bronson is his friend.
Social naivety is definitely at play there.
So he gets his $10. He goes back. He gets his white suit with a nice white hat, white shoes.
He's pimping. He's definitely pimping.
He's pimping. And he's leaving. And then he sees this old-time megaphone. And it's $1. He doesn't have enough money, but he takes what money that he does have.
It was $1, and he takes the change out of his hand, which wasn't enough. Hey, you don't have $1, but I'm going to take the 38 cents or whatever.
Your last 38 cents for it.
Because I got, the baby needs new shoes. I got to get this sold.
So at this point, Sammy is flat broke, I guess. And he goes back to the gym with the suit and the megaphone.
And the bandage still on his head, which seems to be getting worse after Bronson puts the hurt on him.
Yeah, it's like, was this shot out of order? Now I can understand why he has a bandage and a cut. And like I said, maybe that's what he does to make extra money around the gym. He spars with people, and that's why he had the butterfly bandage on his cut. So he goes and he wants to announce, and once again the owner of the gym is like, "Get out of here." But the champ is there. And the champ is there with his manager, and the champ, who's a nice guy, says he pays Sammy Davis Jr. to announce for him.
Right.
So he's going to do some sparring at the gym.
And Sammy, his announcements are, they're just, like, the way he does it. I mean, he's using this big, huge megaphone, not a powered one, just basically a cone, to announce to everybody who's literally sitting right in front of him. So it's, I think he just wants to, you know, project this role of, like we said, the Madison Square Garden thing. So he's literally yelling to the crowd.
He wants to be a professional announcer, and professional announcers use megaphones.
Yeah.
So that's why he's doing it.
Right. And he gets up there and does his thing, and the champ gets in the ring, and he's going to do some sparring, and, you know, the the crowd is kind of, Bronson's jeering him from the side, and the crowd is kind of going along with Bronson, you know, because he's the antagonist in this, and he's kind of the hero, and, you know, everybody looks up to him and stuff. And so Bronson sends his manager over to make an announcement. And, you know, it's on paper and stuff, and it's kind of, you know, punchy, or, you know.
He's reading it for the first time.
Yeah, he reads it word for word, and, you know, it's just kind of.
Punchy, get the marbles out of your mouth or something. And you see, and at this point, you see just Charles Bronson just laugh with glee. And it's like, it's like, that's one of the only times I've seen him do that in his movies. He's just ecstatic that he's making fun of this person who was beneath him.
Yeah,
he's literally punching down.
Yeah, punchy down.
Yeah, he's punching punchy down. Right, excellent way of putting it.
Yeah,
you know, he works there all day and he's announcing and he's happy. You know, he's doing what he wants to do.
He gets done and does some more announcing, and then, you know, the next group gets in and everything, and they get to the end, and I think that's where everybody's done for the day. They all leave. And then Bronson's in the dressing room. He's in the dressing room, and he sees Punchy walking by, and he calls him, and he says, "Hey, Punchy, come in here."
Now, this is a clip that was at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Instead of the Ronald Reagan intro.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was because if they were trying to do that type of
foreshadowing. Well, a lot of shows did do that.
Yeah, maybe it was the editing, because it was a...
Maybe, but a lot of shows in the 50s and 60s would show a clip from the show at the beginning. And that's what they did. And Charles Bronson, once again, is playing up to him. He's like, "I want to shake your hand." And he's got something in his... I'm not sure exactly what it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he had something in his left hand. And when he shakes Punchy's hand, he rubs it on his white suit.
It's like grease or something. Almost like a grease pencil or something like that. And he puts a big, huge smear of this black substance on the... on the sleeve. I mean, it's very, very obvious. It's right by the shoulder, and Punchy loses it. He looks at it, and, you know, this is what he spent his last dollar on, literally. And he goes over to Bronson, and he's mad at that point, and he rears back to hit him, and he's going to punch him, and he stops short. And Bronson,
because he knows that Bronson will mop the floor with him.
And he says, Bronson just says, "Go ahead, make my day," but not in so many words. But that's the attitude. He says, "Just give me a reason." And Punchy, at that point, just kind of, you know, he's sad and he just wants to walk away. And then Bronson says, "I'm just kidding with you. You know, come on, let's shake hands."
He's like, "Look, you know, my hands, nothing in my hands.
Got nothing. Come on, let me give you a guy hug."
And
you know,
while he's shaking his hand, he takes his foot and then just rubs dirt all over his new white shoes.
"Hey, Punchy. I want to tell you, tonight you were beautiful. Let me shake your hand, man. You were just great up there. I'm telling you, you are wonderful."
"Thank you."
"You filthy. You just go right ahead. This time I won't have to pay for the pleasure. Joke, Punchy. Come on, shake my hand. Oh, come on. Look. Come on. Attaboy. Oh, it's clean. Look. I just wanted to tell you I'm glad to see you putting your best foot forward, Punchy."
His reaction is just...
His reaction priceless. Is like he crushed his foot.
I don't know if it's emotional sadness or physical sadness or a combination of the both.
Well,
and here we are laughing.
You know,
at
Sammy
it.
Was... He was going for it. It was like, this is going to be my Emmy.
Because he keeps taking... Yeah, oh yeah. The role
I mean, no, as the actor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As the actor, he was going for
but
it.
But he keeps... As the character, he keeps resetting himself to this thing of, these guys are my friends, these guys are my friends. I mean, you know, if what Soldier is doing, if what Bronson is doing is... being mean to him all the time. You think he would learn, but he doesn't learn. So even after he smears the
sometimes
stuff,
if you don't have a friend, it's like you'll do anything to have a friend. And
that's apparently what's going on.
That's apparently what's going on. He doesn't now at this point he does catch on, because they go to the gym the next day, and it's going to be it's an actual fight. It's not sparring. There's going to be an actual the champ is going to be there and actually fight. And so everybody is there. You know, the gym is packed with people. And Sammy comes in and he wants to announce.
And the suit is clean, by the way.
The suit is clean, by the way.
Amazing. I don't know what
and
they used.
And we'll talk about something else later, which is also amazing. And the owner's like, you can't announce. And once again, good guy champ, let him announce.
Yeah.
It'll bring class. So he lets him announce. And Sammy, it's like, it's so sad to see Sammy happy, because you know it's not going to last that long. And while we're doing this, we're actually watching it. And Sammy's got this walk when he's happy. It's like, it's like a child.
He's bouncy.
He's bouncy. It's like a child at Christmas time when he's happy.
Yeah. But you feel bad for the guy, because you know, you've been watching this and you see that he goes from, you know, being sad to being happy. And he's just so incredibly happy. And he raises the megaphone up and he talks and he's just loving life, and the champ is happy, you know, and the champ seems...
You know, the man and the owner is like, okay, if the champ's happy, I'm happy.
Right, right. We put a commercial right there. So this is the beginning of the big match, the big match day, and so, the other Scott said, the gym is packed, and everybody comes in, and, you know, they're all ready, and Punchy's there, and he's excited to announce, and...
And everybody's slapping him on the back, and he thinks it's because they like him, but probably making fun of him. Hey, have a good day, you know, have a good time announcing. And then he sees Bronson.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then Bronson sees him. Sammy just runs, and Sammy runs out onto the fire escape.
Yep.
And Bronson's, you know...
Come on, now we just want to talk to you.
It's like an abusive relationship where, like, the woman has locked herself in the bathroom and he's like, no, I'm not going to hit you. We're just going to talk.
I just want to be friends.
Exactly.
Let me explain myself.
And he busts down the door to the fire escape. Now, at this point, the copy that we were watching, it's almost totally dark. It's hard to see. But what happens is Bronson, once again, takes a bunch of grease and this time just covers his suit from top to bottom with grease.
Yeah. Yeah, Sammy's trying to get away. Punchy's trying to get away. He's trying to climb up, and he pulls him down and won't let him get away. And he's contemplating, Sammy Davis Jr. is contemplating jumping, but he doesn't, and he stands there, and that's when Charles Bronson takes his hands, gets all this grease on him. Interestingly enough, even though this is shot really dark, it's very interesting that Sammy is in complete white, and Bronson shows up in this scene in complete black, which I think kind of plays on the bad and good, the evil
right.
and good side of things. So just kind of a visual cue there, or clue. So,
but Sammy loses it and he starts punching Bronson, and Bronson's just laughing at it. Apparently, this is a very, very unsafe fire escape.
Yes, because you got the 110-pound guy who just decides to start slugging away. And he's slugging exactly the same way he did in the ring earlier. Mm. And he slugs him enough to the point where he literally knocks Charles Bronson off of the fire escape. And he does this,
It's not the Wilhelm scream.
It's not the Wilhelm scream that the stormtroopers all do.
But it is there's like another famous scream. I think it might be that one, but it's not the Wilhelm scream, but it's a very comical.
It's not very masculine.
Very high.
Bronson to be like, arr! But totally not like that. And so he hits the ground, and Punchy, you know.
Now, Punchy comes back in, and once again, his suit is clean in the front. Now, the back is dirty, but he's cleaned the front of it.
After he's just knocked Bronson off the fire escape, and he's got, I mean, he doesn't just have like a little smear. He has a lot on him. And amazingly, he comes back through the door into the gym.
Tide stick.
Yeah, it's got to be a tide stick. Exactly. So either that or it's a Teflon jacket and it just came off. He walks back in and kind of gets himself all put together. And, you know, he's got this look on his face. He's a little bit dazed, but he's like, they're all waiting for him. They're like, hey.
We can't start the match without you, Poncho.
Come on, here he is. And they're all clapping and stuff. And
he smiles because, like, oh, they all like me.
They're all going to laugh at you. Oh, no, no. He's like, yeah. So, but he's dazed, and they hand him the megaphone and tell him to get up there. And he gets up there, and he's excited, and he does his thing.
And, yes, he announces the match, and everybody cheers. And then all of a sudden, the owner comes in with a piece of paper that he hands to Poncho. And once again, and he's like, no, don't read it.
He starts reading, and go ahead. What was I?
It was like, Poncho, two officers up front want to talk to you about the death of a soldier. And he goes, dear Poncho, I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to do it.
Do it.
No. But so once again, he's reading it for the first time. Poncho, there's a couple of policemen here to talk to you about the death of a soldier.
He reads it out loud.
Over the megaphone.
But then he's like, as he's reading it, he realizes what he just said. And that's when he's like, my goose is cooked.
We look out and there's a couple of cops at the front door.
And I thought the way that was done, you know, that it really reminded me of almost like a Twilight Zone type episode where it's this, you know, this destiny that appears before this guy. He had no idea. And I was expecting, you know, Rod Sterling to get up there at the end and read something to us. But the end of it's pretty interesting the way it ends.
So we see the cops, and Poncho just steps out of the ring. He hands the megaphone to the gym owner, starts walking towards the cops. And the owner goes, don't you want to take your megaphone to jail?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, save it for somebody who wants to be a real announcer.
Yeah.
You know, he walks into the police, and the police take him off. And that's the end of the episode. It's a very melancholy. It's not a feel-good episode.
No.
At all.
The bad part about it is, you know, the entire episode, I mean, Poncho goes through all this stuff. Poncho goes through all this and, you know, really puts up with a lot. And here he is getting his, doing his dream and really wanting to make something of himself now. And you know, he does. And, you know, he defends himself from this bully and unfortunately, you know, pays the price at the end. So. Very, very interesting episode. It made me itch. It made me cringe.
Yeah. Charles Bronson plays a great bad guy. It's weird. Like I said, it's weird seeing Joe Besser as, you know, sort of a dick. The other people in there, they're not bad guys. They're just indifferent. Nobody is really treating them really bad except for Bronson.
Right.
The chap is the only one who sticks up for him.
Yeah.
Nobody else sticks up for him. We watched the only place this is available on YouTube, and the rip on YouTube is pretty bad.
The bigger the screen you watch it on, the better it is. When I watch it on my phone versus watching it on an iPad made a big difference because as you'd expect from something that was taken off of, I think it was taken off of obviously film onto some sort of digital media, and it might have gone to, I don't know if it was on VHS because it jumps around so much. But even the sound is, you get that little bit of waviness in the sound every now and then, so even the soundtrack's a little wavy. But overall, I mean, like I said, I found it to be really cringy, but I still liked it, and it actually really made me think a lot. I mean, after the first time I watched it, I thought about that episode for a few days and just really, you know, it kind of stuck with me, which I didn't think it would, but...
It's also Sammy Davis Jr., a black man, was a lead in a television show in an episode in, like, the late 50s, early 60s. That was a big deal as well back then.
Yep, thought it was pretty interesting.
It was interesting.
And Memory in White is the title, which, you know...
It's something in white. It's something in white. It's Memory in White. I couldn't remember Memory. And just seeing Bronson giddy, that's just off-putting. Yeah, I would recommend it. I mean, if you think you can sit through it, it's only a half-hour show. So if you want to sit through it and see, you know, Charles Bronson beat up a helpless black man playing a Latino, do it. We always say this. It's television of the time.
Right.
So if you look through it through today's eyes, you're not going to you're going to find a ton of stuff wrong with it.
It's a good feel-good show, though. It's really good to watch.
Yeah.
Like, after Thanksgiving dinner, maybe Christmas
morning.
Morning.
You know, yeah. After the kids open the presents, put this in.
Or, I mean, you know, for Sammy's sake, maybe it's good at Hanukkah. It'd be nice. So, you know, whatever works.
Whatever works. All right. So, Scott, every time you're on, we want to promote your Lego store.
Oh, yeah. The Lego business. Yep. So, if you're looking for anything Lego-related... I run a Lego business called sabobrick.com, sabobrick.com. I've got tons of Legos. If you need minifigures, decals, parts, whatever it is you could possibly need, I have it. There'll be a link inside the bottom of the podcast here. And if you mention the Scotty Blanco or the podcast, I will give you a discount before we get your order shipped.
And speaking of Lego, on my other podcast, Dan Aykroyd Podcast, we are going to do a special Lego podcast. So I don't know when that's coming out, but that will happen. So keep that in mind, too.
Yes, our delivery is on its way, as they say. I've been tracking it. I'm excited to get it. It's actually the first Ghostbuster Lego, I'll just put it at that, that I've been able to get my hands on. So, discontinued, but I did find one, and so we're going to have some fun with it.
That was easier to find than a clean rip of memory in white.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see everybody here next time on the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. This should help people find the podcast when they're searching. No matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast.
Touch your dog! Touch!
Your attention, please! Pancho, the cops are waiting for you at the entrance in connection with the killing. Killing a soldier, Conlon.
Your megaphone, taking it.
No, Mr. Gibbs. Hey, I think you better keep it. And perhaps someday you give it to a boy who wants to be the world's greatest announcer.
Has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.